The scripture today is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 12. Let us turn to our Bibles as I read from the screen. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do, what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel bought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke the well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God has taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By this faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies, as countless as the sands in the seashore. And so today, we are very glad to have Reverend Wan to share with us God's Word, sermon titled, Living by Faith. Reverend Wan, please.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back to bring God's Word to you. I thought that since we are, all of us, at the beginning of the year and moving into the Lunar New Year, I would like to bring a message that I hope will help you to move forward positively throughout the year, okay? And the topic I have in mind this morning is a very practical, fundamental one, and that is to learn how to live by faith. Now, there are two convictions that are absolutely necessary to a right relationship with God. One, believe that God exists. And two, believe that God will do what he says he will do. Now, apart from these two basic convictions, there will be no salvation and no blessings. Now, this is what the writer says in Hebrews 11:6. I will go to this verse a bit later. Now, the basic foundation of the Christian life is faith. That's how we relate to God. That's how we relate to our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we know that this is one area of our life where most of us Christians have misunderstanding or have most difficulty with. What is faith? And what does it mean to live by faith in our daily life? These are the questions I would like to answer this morning. Now, the first point, I can't see, it's not in this. Okay, good. The first point I want to raise is that faith is the principle of life. This principle is stated in Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. Now, this is a quote from Habakkuk 2:4, and it is also quoted in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. Now, the just shall live by faith means that we are declared righteous before God, or we are accepted by God on the basis of our faith in Christ, okay? Not through our own works or good character. And this principle signifies that our relationship with God and our eternal life is secured through faith in Christ. Now, we all know that justification by faith is a fundamental Christian doctrine. We are all made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, not by following a set of rules or by doing good works. Now, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 are important verses for us to remember. Here we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." James 2, verse 14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" And Romans 3, 28 says, Paul says, "A man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." Now, is there any contradiction between James and Paul's view of faith? The answer is no. Both of them are looking at salvation from different perspectives, and they are not in contradiction. Paul looks at faith from a theological perspective, whereas James from a practical perspective. They are two sides of the same coin. James is not talking about works as a means of salvation, but as a proof of faith. And Paul is looking at the root of salvation. James is looking at the fruit of salvation. Now, notice that James does not say if a man has faith. He says, look at the verse, he says, if a man claims to have faith. A man may claim to be a Christian, but if his profession is not supported by a change of life, then we put a question mark on his faith. There is a difference between what the man says he believes and how his belief behaves. James says that if a person's faith is not producing some change in his life, in his behavior, then we have the right to question whether he has genuine faith. Why? Because faith is seen in transformed life and good deeds. The second point is the imperative of faith. Hebrews 11:6 reads, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." In this verse, there are three important statements. Number one, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Number two, we must believe that God exists. And three, God rewards those who seek him. So here we see that faith is imperative in our Christian living. We began our Christian life by faith, we continue to live our Christian life by faith, and we will end our Christian life by faith. Now we look at the nature of faith, and this is found in the first three verses of Hebrews 11. Now, what is the definition of faith. First, let us look at what biblical faith is not. It is not a positive feeling. It's not blind optimism. It's not hope-so attitude. It's not an intellectual note of agreement to a belief or believing in spite of no clear evidence. So what is faith? Well, faith is defined for us in verse 1. We read, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. And then in the Living Bible, we read, faith is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it ahead. So as a definition, we can say that faith is the confident conviction that God is who He says He is, and the certainty that He will do what He says He will do. Now, two words describe our faith: confidence and certainty. These two qualities need a secure beginning and end point. The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character. He is who He says He is. The end point is believing in God's promises. He will do what He says. We believe that God will fulfill His promises even though we don't see His promises materializing now. That is true faith. Now, to say it another way, faith is grounded on God's character and His word. Faith is the conviction that God will do what He has promised. The certainty of our faith is grounded on God's faithfulness. Faith believes without seeing, yet sees by believing. The eyes of faith sees the invisible, because we are convinced that God will keep His promises. Now, there are two other words that will help us explain what faith is. The two words are belief and trust. To have faith is to believe God and act accordingly. This is very well illustrated by the story of the healing of the royal official's son recorded for us in John chapter 4. Jesus said to the royal official, "You may go, your son will live." The next thing we read are these words: "The man took Jesus at his word and departed." This is exactly the meaning of faith: to believe Jesus and to act accordingly. Another example is Abraham. Romans chapter 4 verse 3 says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now we know that in In the story, God promised Abraham that he will have a son. But God didn't tell him when he will have the son. And then when he had Isaac, God commanded him to sacrifice him. Now here we see that Abraham's faith is tested very severely. Now the crux of Abraham's crisis is the seeming contradiction between the promises of God that were fulfilled through Isaac and the command of God to sacrifice him. Right? Very contradictory, very hard to explain. So Abraham was forced into a very radical posture of trusting God. And so in verse 19, the writer of Hebrews deduced that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. That means he thinks that the only way that both the promises and the command could be fulfilled is through the raising of the dead. But see what the Apostle Paul wrote about Abraham in Romans 4:20-22. No belief made him waver concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Note the words, he staggers not at the promise of God, but he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Now that is exercising faith. So Abraham's obedience in carrying out God's command to sacrifice Isaac is a clear evidence that he trusted God. Another point is that faith is trusting God. Now, believing in God is more than a mental agreement. It involves trusting God. And this is beautifully illustrated by the delightful story of Charles Blondin, the celebrated tightrope walker of the 19th century. I think many of us are familiar with this story. Now, we know that he specializes in crossing the gorge below the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And his performance includes many variations, such as crossing the tightrope blindfolded, wrap himself in a sack, crossing the rope at night, pushing a wheelbarrow, carrying a man on his back, and sitting down midway on the rope, making an egg omelette, and standing on a chair with one chair leg on the rope. Now, in 1860, he performed the then Prince of Wales, who was visiting Niagara as part of a tour. Blondin offered to carry him over his back. The prince declined, but graciously suggested that the Duke of Newcastle, who was in attendance, might like to accept the offer. Unfortunately, the Duke of Newcastle also declined. Now, these two men believed that Blondin could do it, but they did not trust him. How do we know? Because there was no act of will. There was no personal commitment. By way of contrast, Blondin's mother watched him wheel a sack of potatoes over the falls, and then, at his suggestion, climbed into the wheelbarrow herself and entrusted herself to his skill and balance. She was not disappointed. Now, this story illustrates the difference between mere belief, head knowledge, and true faith, belief in action, heart knowledge, personal commitment in God. The next point I want to mention is that faith is the sixth sense. I think this may be new to many of us. Let me explain. Now, we know that every human being has five senses given by God, all right? They are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Let's look briefly at each one of them. Sight. Now, we know that eyes detect light and color. With our eyes, we see light. If our eyes cannot see light, what does it mean? We are blind, okay? Our eyes are the instruments that bring light into the reality of our being. Hearing. Now, we know that ears are stimulated by sound waves. If our ears, we hear sound waves. If we can't hear, we are deaf. Our ears are the instrument that brings sound and music into the reality of our experience. Thirdly, smell. We know that there are special cells in the nose that detect chemicals in the air. With our nose, we smell fragrances and aromas. Taste. Taste buds on the tongue detect different tastes like sweet, salty, sour, and bitter. Our tongue is the instrument to bring this taste sensation into the reality of our experience. Without these buds, we will not be able to experience these different things. Touch. Receptors in the skin detect pressure, temperature, and pain. Our hands are the instrument to detect these sensations. If our nerves are damaged, we can't feel this sensation. And this is the problem with people who are suffering from leprosy. Their nerves are damaged. They cannot sense pain, temperature, and heat. Now notice this. All these sensations are unseen, except probably with light. But God gave us all these five faculties to bring these sensations into the reality of our being and experience. Now, faith is like these senses. It is a sixth sense given by God to allow us to enter and experience the unseen world, the world of spiritual things, of eternal things. Gil Sanders wrote, "Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen." With faith, we believe God exists. With faith, we can trust God to do what He has promised. Now we move to the next point. Living by faith as a lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." In the New Testament, walk is used in a metaphorical way. It means to follow certain course of life. It means to conduct ourselves in certain way. It refers to the way we live or to conduct our life. For example, in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And chapter 2, verse 11, "But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now take note of the phrase, "walk in darkness." It means to walk in sin, in evil, and rebellion against God. What the Apostle John means is that Christians should not continue living in ignorance of divine truth. To the contrary, Christians should walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4, should walk in love, Ephesians 5:2, walk in wisdom, Colossians 4:5, and walk in truth, 3 John 4. These are some examples. So coming back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." What does it mean? To walk by faith means to live and make decisions based on trust in God rather than on what can be seen or feel. It involves relying on God's guidance, promises, and the Word, even when circumstances are unclear or difficult. To walk by faith requires us to turn our hearts to the voices of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word. Now we choose to live according to what God reveals to us, rather than trust our own understanding. The Apostle Paul says, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." Now we look at the last point, the demonstration of faith. Now in this chapter, Hebrews 11, the author explains what it means to live by faith, giving illustrations of the faithful men and women in the history of Israel. Okay? Now altogether, the writer gave more than 15 examples of men and women of faith in the Bible, such as Abraham, Moses, Sarah, Noah, Rahab, etc. All believe in God. And when they believe in God, the Bible says they did something. There is an inner action that moves the will. Right? Let me just give you some of the examples mentioned by the author. By faith, Noah built the ark on land, not on sea. By faith, Abraham obeyed God and went away not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham sacrificed Isaac, believing that God will raise him from the dead. By faith, Joseph made his siblings promise to carry his remains out of Egypt to Canaan. He believed that God will bring his people out of Egypt to the promised land. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to identify himself with God's suffering people. By faith, Joshua led the Israelites to walk around the city of Jericho 7 times, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. When I was in secondary school, I was very actively involved in the Ministry of Youth for Christ, YFC. Now, every year during those days, YFC organized a youth leadership camp at the end of the year. In 1966, the camp was held at the School for the Blind at Toa Payoh. At the end of the camp, the director, Daniel E., gave his final talk to all participants. The text for his message was 2 Corinthians 5:15. "He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Now, as he spoke, something very unusual happened to me. I felt God was speaking to me directly and that he wanted me to commit my life to serve him. From 1966 to the year I entered Discipleship Training Center in 1979, it was 13 long years of obedience and adventure. Now, how do we apply this lesson? How do we live by faith? Let me suggest 3 practical steps that all of us can take. Number 1, let us strengthen our faith by knowing God more intimately through the Word and prayer. Because the more we know who God is, the more confidence we have in Him, and the greater our faith will be. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So let us make sure that we make time every day to read the Bible and spend our time with God in prayer. Number 2, pray for guidance. When you ask God, trust that you will receive His word. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are familiar to all of us. But it's a very practical advice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Learn to surrender your wills to God. Learn to surrender your own plans and desires to God, believing that God's plan is always the best. Learn to align yourself with God's will, trusting His judgment, and leaving the outcome to Him. That is a very practical way of learning to live by faith. And then lastly, thirdly, learn to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit speaks to you, follow His leading. Sometimes you may not understand, right? Sometimes you think it's crazy, but remember, when you have the assurance that this is what God speaks to you, follow it, okay? And you will be amazed what God can do in your life. So may God use this message to encourage us as we continue to live this new year for God. Let's learn to live by faith, not by sight. May God bless His word to us. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank You for Your precious word. As we listen to Your word, we acknowledge that very often we fall short of all that You require us. So God, we confess our sins to You, and we pray that God, You will teach us to learn how to walk by faith every day. Help us to spend time with You that we may learn to know You more intimately, that our faith in You will grow stronger and stronger each day. And teach us to be sensitive to Your Holy Spirit, who will guide us each day, and help us to follow Him with confidence, knowing the Lord, it will lead us to the fulfillment of Your will for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.